What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Donald Trump has been formally nominated tonight in Cleveland. Question is, can he win in November? What are the odds? For answers, we're turning tonight to the team at 538, the stats-driven, hard numbers analysis website. You can join us. Are you watching the polls, the numbers? Do you trust them? Can Trump win? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Joining me now, outside the convention arena, is Nate Silver, founder and editor-in-chief of 538. In the 2008 election of Barack Obama, he called the outcome in 49 of the 50 states. Time magazine named him one of the world's 100 most influential people. In 2012, he correctly predicted the winner in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Nobody's perfect. Last summer, he estimated Donald Trump's odds of winning the GOP nomination at 2%. Tonight that happened. He's here with us with the latest analysis. Nate Silver, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me.
And with us is WizKid Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst at 538. I don't know where that came from, but we got it. Nate and Harry are both on the popular 538 Elections podcast. Harry Enten, great to have you with us.
Thanks so much
for being here. All right. Nate Silver, can Donald Trump win the presidency? How do the numbers stack up?
Absolutely he can win the presidency. You have two candidates who are very unpopular. You have polls that have tightened a lot heading into the convention. A few weeks ago, Clinton had a lead of about 7 points. Now it's 3 points. 3 points held up. It's about what Obama led by in 2008, 2012. In 2004, Senator Kerry had a lead of about 3 points in the convention, before the convention, and wound up losing. So, Clinton is the favorite, but, hey, I was the guy who was very skeptical. A lot of people were about Trump's chances of winning the nomination. In some senses, this step is easier. You only have one opponent left, and there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of how this might turn out.
We're going to dig into the numbers. Harry Enten, it's not just the polling numbers that you guys look at. It's more than that. Give us a sense of the whole profile of what you're looking at when you make your assessment of the candidate's odds of winning.
Sure. So we have a polls-only forecast, which focuses mostly on the polls, but also in some states where there aren't a lot of polls, we also look at the demographics and look at the past results so you get an idea. Say, a state like Nevada, which doesn't exactly have a lot of polls, we know it tends to vote a little bit more Democratic than the nation as a whole, so that factors weighed a little more heavily. Then we also have a polls plus forecast, which takes into account economic factors, that we have an economic index, and the economy right now is not fantastic, but it's just a little bit better than average, so that slightly leans towards Clinton, but it's not an overwhelming favorite. It basically looks like the polls are a race that leans towards her, but not overwhelmingly so.
Nate, do polls work anymore, just polls on their own? I mean, people's phones ring, my phones ring, I don't answer. It goes to answering machine, I just don't answer. I get maybe enough people do. Do polls work?
So the polls in the past few presidential elections have been pretty good. They were pretty good in 2012, 2008, very good in 2004, pretty good in 2000. Our model goes back further, though, back to 1972, in fact, when there were years when the polls were pretty wild. 1980, Ronald Reagan just barely led Jimmy Carter heading into the election and wound up winning in a landslide. The reason we do that is that we want to be more conservative. We know that in other types of races in the United States, around the world, the polls have struggled lately, and so, we're happy to be a little bit more careful. The pinpoint accuracy we had in polls 4 years ago, 8 years ago, not guaranteed to happen this time. At the same time, you'd much rather be 3 points up than 3 points down, and much rather be 10 points up than 3 points up.
Why are they less good now? Is it because of the way telephone usage has changed?
For sure. I mean, it's, people now don't take phone calls from strangers on their telephones. Mm-hmm. Pollsters are at least calling cell phones now, which is better, but still, it used to be that when a poll...
Don't call mine, for heaven's sake, please.
Well, but that's how I don't pick up the phone when a pollster calls.
Yeah.
If it's a pizza delivery guy, I'll answer, or a friend, but that's about it. But it used to be that 20 years ago, about a third of people who the pollster wanted to take the survey would ultimately respond. Now it might be 5%, 10%. In some sense, it's miraculous that polls are still pretty good, But it means that, especially now before the conventions, mm-hmm. a 3 or 4 point lead for Clinton is not particularly safe. On Election Day, it would be safer. You'd have to look at the swing states, but you know, polls have a margin of error, and they also have a practical margin of error because it's impossible to know if you've reached exactly the right people.
We're talking with Nate Silver and Harry Enten about whether Donald Trump can actually win in November. He's nailed the nomination tonight of the Republican Party, but winning on the general election day is something else entirely. We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. So, Nate Silver, you put odds on these things as well, right?
We do, yeah. So the probability, I think right now we give Trump a 38% chance right now. So somewhere between 35 and 40%.
And Hillary?
So she gets the rest.
See all the rest?
60. I mean, Gary,
this
if you want any technical,
yeah, okay.
We model Gary Johnson. He has a 0.1%
okay,
chance.
Okay, that's technical,
we've seen
all
enough
right.
crazy stuff this cycle that I take that 0.1% seriously. But no, it's a two-way race for the winner, but that Johnson vote and that Jill Stein vote right now is about 12% of the vote. That's a really valuable vote. You know, it looks like some Bernie Sanders supporters, for example, right now are parked under Johnson or Stein. If Clinton reclaims them...
Jill Stein, Green Party candidate.
Green Party, Gary Johnson Libertarian, yep. but socially liberal. If Clinton reclaims them, she might have back that 5-7 point lead she had earlier. If she doesn't, then you get into the scenarios where she finds a way to lose this race.
Let's get into the particulars of that. Harry, what's critical? Start with Hillary Clinton. We'll come back to Donald Trump. What's critical for Hillary Clinton to nail down a victory?
Well, I think that there are a few things that are critical. One, which Nate kind of hinted at, is that if you look at the polls now, we do see that when you look at a two-way matchup between Trump and Clinton, and then the same pollsters ask, say, a 3 or 4 way matchup where they include Johnson and Stein, Clinton does better in the two-way matchups than she does in the 3 and 4 way matchups. That hasn't always been the case. If you go back 2 months ago, for instance, in fact, you saw very little difference between when pollsters included Johnson and Stein and when they didn't. But now it's pretty clear that Clinton is losing a little bit of ground when they include either Johnson and or Stein. Other things that I think are critical...
I don't really get what you're saying there. Nate says they're a tiny factor here.
But no. They are a tiny factor insofar as they don't have a great shot of winning, but they are getting a large percentage of the vote. Remember, you don't have a chance of winning a state if you only get 10% of the mm-hmm. vote, but if you take, you know, 10% and then you divide that and you give 60% of that 10% to Clinton and 40% of it to Trump, that's 2 percentage points of the electorate, and if that goes to Clinton, then that could put her over the top in, say, a state like Florida or a state like Ohio.
So do the Greens come to her? Do the Libertarians come to her? Nate, what about buried in all this, and it's a huge, pig in the python, lump under the rug, are the Sanders people.
Yep.
You know, they don't have a candidate now. They don't have their candidate now. How do you poke in there on data and figure out what they're going to do?
So traditionally, the party conventions are when the party faithful comes along if it hadn't before. Bernie Sanders did endorse Hillary last week. She does not appear to have gotten much of a bump from that, but it came when there was so much news mm-hmm. around the world that maybe it wound up being ill-timed. If Bernie Sanders gives an enthusiastic endorsement at the convention, and Elizabeth Warren does, other progressive Democrats, then you would think there's some room to go for Clinton, because few of those Sanders voters are really voting Trump, right? That's kind of a fake phenomenon in the media. But a lot of them say they're undecided. A lot of them say Johnson or Stein, and there's maybe, you know... Again, that could take Clinton from a 3-point race to a 7-point race. The Bernie Sanders supporters could very easily determine the next president.
How do you measure, Harry, what they might do? How do you get in and test and poke and prod and figure out what the one-time Sanders supporters are going to do as guys who look at data and polls?
Well, I mean, they're crosstabs that provide this data. They say, did you vote? Who'd you vote for in the primary? And what we see, depending on the poll, you get somewhere between 30 and 40% if you have a 3 or 4 way race of Sanders supporters who say at this point that they are not going to vote for Hillary Clinton in the fall. And the question is, will they actually come home? You know,
could they lose to the race, that 3 or 4% of Sanders voters?
They could absolutely lose to the race. Although I should point out that there are a number of Republicans who haven't come home at this point either. There are a number of Ted Cruz supporters and a number of Marco Rubio and John Kasich supporters who aren't supporting Donald Trump. If he's able to put those into his camp, then that could help him out.
Well, let's go to that. What's critical for Donald Trump, Nate Silver, in terms of bringing this home? What's he have to do? Who's he have to get?
I mean, he's got to... Well, first of all, he has to make sure that Hillary remains as unpopular as he is.
I'm sure he'll do his best on that front.
Well, we will know more after the convention whether his favorables go up at all.
Yep.
If they're still at 65% unfavorable after a four-day infomercial, which is
what... His are 65 and hers are...
58.
So right, you know, up there. They're both... He's higher, but they're both way up there.
I mean, the funny thing about selection is if either candidate could get that to 50%, they'd win...
Down to 50%.
Down to 50%.
They'd be sitting
they'd
pretty.
Win in a landslide.
Yeah.
It would be a landslide. So we'll see. Can Trump persuade people that were not in his camp before? The first day of the convention seemed not to
kind
be
of
about
a wash.
That so much. Kind of a wash.
Melania was supposed to be the softening factor,
and that
maybe that worked, but then all this stuff overnight on Michelle Obama and her and plagiarism charges.
But Trump, in some sense, has more incentive to run a negative campaign. That's how he wins. It's not because Donald Trump will become amazingly popular. It's because that Clinton is just as unpopular. There's a big third-party vote, and maybe unlike Obama, she has... bad luck in the Electoral College. Her numbers don't look that great right now in Ohio or
Hillary's
Pennsylvania.
Don't.
Clinton's don't.
Yep.
She's still probably ahead, but instead of a 3-point lead, might be a 2-point lead, might be a 1-point lead. And so that's why Democrats shouldn't be too nervous, because it's early. We have a really long time to go. But again, unlike Obama, her swing state numbers are maybe worse than her national polls. That's why you say 3 points. Why she's only 60%? It's because all the undecideds, number one, that adds to uncertainty,
yep.
And the fact that her swing state numbers are kind of mediocre.
Take us through the swing states, Harry. Ohio and Pennsylvania, not as good as she'd like them to be. Where else is geographically looking at this contest? Trump's Clinton.
I think the most important state is the same state that won George W. Bush the presidency in 2000. It's Florida. This is a state that, even though Barack Obama won it twice, it was a close race both times around. Hillary Clinton is doing somewhat better in the state of Florida than Barack Obama did relative to the national vote. It's a state where there's a growing Latino population, Puerto Ricans around Orlando, and that, to me, if you look at the 538 model, that is more oftentimes than not the decisive state in this election.
So Florida, that's everything. What else? Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida?
Virginia, Colorado, Nevada,
North Carolina,
Iowa, New Hampshire. And, you know, one state that I would also potentially look out upon that could be interesting is maybe Arizona, although that state seems to be trending more in Trump's direction.
It has been Republican. People talk about it maybe going Democratic this time. We'll see. Bobby in Charlotte, North Carolina. Bobby, thank you very much for calling. You are on the air with Nate Silver and Harry Enten.
Well, thank you for having me. I have a comment. I'm a naturalized U.S. citizen, but I grew up in a country in South America, Ecuador, that's had a populist tendency for many years. And I am terrified. I've found that the United States has stayed away from populist politics for generations. And this is the first election where I see, both on the Democratic and Republican side, a populist leaders arising and taking advantage of that of populism to make their case. And I think that that force is underestimated right now in the polls.
What's the implication of that to you, Bobby? What if it's populist politics? Is it all just politics, or is there something different about it when it comes to predicting who might win?
I think it is, because I think it's hard to measure the pool of populism, because once you sign on to a populist message, you're not going to be swayed by facts. You're not going to be swayed by policy. It's all about the person. It's all about the emotion, and those candidates who can tap into sentiment over content get a pass on so many things that they end up doing better than one would think.
That is really interesting. Bobby, I'm so glad you called. Nate Silver, how about it? Naturalized U.S. citizen out of Latin America says, hold on, this is a horse of a different color here when it's a populist candidate like Donald Trump.
So certainly Donald Trump is radically different than any presidential nominee in recent U.S. history. What we just saw take place an hour ago is an astonishing moment in American history.
The formal nomination by the GOP of
by
this
the GOP.
Man.
However, I don't think that translates into him being underrated by the polls. In the primaries, Trump actually lost a few states where he was ahead in the polls. He lost Iowa. He lost Oklahoma, for example, where polls
had
him
leading. Why? Because people get in the polling booth in America and say, I'm not so sure, or something
else.
So
he didn't do that well with late decided voters. If you're a Trump fan, you wear the Trump shirt and the Trump hat kind of proudly on your sleeve, and you're quite vocal about your support. they don't seem to be a shy group of voters. Sometimes polls, because not that many people respond, will overrate the more enthusiastic candidates' supporters.
Harry, what about secret supporters of Donald Trump? I mean, I have run into a few who say, you know, I'm kind of interested in him, but I don't really want to say so because I'm in my social group is not popular.
Sure, as someone from New York, that would be a popular position for people that I might know. But yeah. Look, Nate had it exactly right. We look back over the primary. In fact, Donald Trump pretty much met his polling average in most of the states. He did not overperform his numbers. I think, you know, we were dealing 8 years ago with the same thing with Obama. Would he underperform because of a Bradley effect whereby people were ashamed to admit they weren't voting for the African-American candidate? It did not come to fruition. I don't think it will come to fruition with Trump, but you know what? This election's been so unpredictable, we can't say for sure.
He's got several more days of this convention, Nate. If this is the infomercial, Hillary Clinton will have hers next week in Philadelphia. You've been looking at what people care about. What's he need to hit to give him either the comfort for with him, the opposite with Hillary Clinton? What's he need to hit?
I mean, certainly his numbers are weakest attribute-wise on, can you imagine this guy in the White House? Does he have the temperament to be president? And because he's making such a big deal the first night of the convention about law and order, we live in a world that's spinning out of control, I think his words were, people are going to ask, okay, maybe I buy that. A lot of Americans do. But maybe that makes me turn to safety in Clinton ahead. So can he make that connection? Can he appear organized and disciplined? That's function number one. Function number two is there are these Rubio voters and Kasich voters who are reluctant. Not that many of them. The convention hasn't been managed all that well from their standpoint so far. They feel without a voice. Can Trump bring in that traditional wing of the Republican Party, or does he have to worry about those voters later on?
38% odds of winning, you say, Nate Silver, as we sit here tonight at the Republican convention.
38%. And that's, you know, and that's, again, we're actually more conservative about this because we know the polls don't tell you that much in July, and Clinton isn't ahead by that much.
What are the odds of coming from 38% odds to winning?
38%.
I mean, but people come from that position and won in the past?
It's like, so think about it. The road NFL team wins about 38% of the time. So it's like an NFL team winning when they're on the road, a 3-point underdog.
Okay.
Not too unlikely at
okay.
all.
Okay. So that can happen. Can happen.
It's a real probability. Possibility, I should
real
say.
Real possibility. Wow. Here we go. Donald Trump, from billionaire businessman to tonight, formal nominee of the Republican Party. And Nate Silver and Harry Enten with us from 538 saying, this man can win. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. Great to have you.
Thank you.
And Nate Silver, thanks for being here.
Thank you.